Can I hear an amen? If you brought your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to go to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 2. The Bible verses that we're going to use, a lot of them are going to appear on the screen. I've entitled our time together, Going Out with a Bang. 2 Kings, chapter 2. Amos Alonso Stagg was a great football player, American, All-American, in 1889. He loved playing football, but he loved more coaching. He coached basketball, football, and baseball for 72 years. This guy, Amos, won two national titles, 1905, 1913, and was actually a football kind of a brainiac. He invented the huddle. He invented the lateral pass. He invented the T formation, right? The reverse, the onside kick. In baseball, he invented the batting cage. He was inducted in the College Football National Hall of Fame and in the College Basketball National Hall of Fame. But his heart was not as much into sports as it was into investing his life in his players. So one year after a successful campaign, a reporter commented on, congratulated him on a job well done. And he said this, and I quote him, "I won't know how good a job I did for 20 years. That's when I'll see my boys and how they turned out." What a great life to think about investing in somebody else's life. Doing whatever you can to make somebody else better, even better than you. Sometimes I've invited people to the church to preach, people that I admire, people that I encourage, people that I want to go forward. And people come to me at times, not many times, very few times, okay, but they'll come to me and say, "That guy was, I like him better than you." And I'm always like, great. Because I want to push people forward. I want them to be even be better than me. I don't care. When you're God's team, what you want is for others to succeed, for others to do well. You and I want to make a strong influence on others. For your notes, write this down. If you like to take notes, I'm going to put the notes on the screen, the blanks, and you can write down what I'm reading. You never know, for your notes, write this down. Positive. You never know the positive influence you can have on others. You never know that. You want to live a life of purpose and meaning? Invest yourself in other people's lives. Push them forward, bless them, and see what God does. We've been following the life of Elijah, the great prophet of God, in the Old Testament for a few weeks. We've read about the incredible miracles God performed through that man. He had some bold prayers, and God came through for him again and again and again. He was very faith-filled. The things that he did made people marvel about God, be in awe of God, be inspired by what God is all about. And so today, in 2 Kings chapter 2, we read about Elijah's last day on earth. He went out with a bang. And regardless of where you're at in your stage in life, you want to live the kind of life that when you go out with a bang. So the purpose of this message is to see in what happened with Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, how you and I can go out with a bang. Okay, but before we get there, I want us to read something that the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament. Okay? And you and I want to believe this with every fiber of our being. You want to be you want to be a man or a woman of God that makes a difference and God uses you. You want to believe this with all your heart. So this is what Paul wrote, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul wrote, God, this is from the Message Bible, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. The question is, do you believe that? Do I believe that? Do I believe that God can do more than I'm asking for? More than I'm dreaming about? More than I can imagine? For your notes, write the words, in Christ. In Christ, there are no limits. Listen, no limits to what God can do in and through you. By the time we get to 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah has found his successor. His name is a guy by the name of Elisha. So we got Elijah and we got Elisha. And Elisha was learning everything he could from Elijah. And he stuck to Elijah like super glue. He just did not want to leave his master's side. We pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 from the New Living Translation. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. And when you read all in this passage, then Elijah said to Elisha, hey, listen, I'm going to go to Jericho. So why don't you stay here in Bethel and let me go to Jericho? But Elisha said, no, I'm going with you. And then when they got to Jericho, Elijah says to Elisha, hey, listen, I'm going to go down to the Jordan River. Stay here in Jericho. Let me go by myself. And Elisha said, no, I'm going to go with you. And so they traveled together what seems to be sort of a distance of about 14 miles. And being who I am, I thought, you know, if I would have been Elijah, it would have been easier and better for me to say, I'll catch up with you later. But he didn't. He kept going. And it gave me this thought for your notes. Write these words down. The way to blessing in your life. Listen, the way to blessing in your life may be difficult, may be uncomfortable, but it is always profitable. The way to blessing in your life sometimes not easy at all as you follow the Lord, however God leads you. And sometimes it takes us out of our comfort zone, but it's always profitable. Verses 7 and 8. Meanwhile, 50 men from the guild of prophets gathered some distance away while the two of them, Elijah and Elisha, stood at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, that was like his outer shirt, his outer garment, okay? He took his shirt, rolled it up. The way I'm thinking is like, you know how you want to pop somewhere when you roll up a towel at home? Pop! Right? So Elijah rolls up his shirt and pops the water. He hit the water with it. The river divided, and the two men walked through on dry land. That's a miracle of God right there. No mud, dry land. Moses, God displayed an incredible miracle through him when the Egyptians were coming and the Hebrews were leaving Egypt in a hurry, and they knew, they were terrified because the enemy army was coming, and God said to Moses, hey, listen, what are you doing? Just raise your hands. And so he stood in front of the Red Sea, and he raised his hands, and the Bible says that the waters parted. And the people also walked on dry land. And then when the people of Israel came to the promised land, they got to the River Jordan during the stage when it was overflowing its banks because it had rained a lot. And the Bible says that God made the waters recede. And so they walked again through dry land. So here, Elijah, it's a big deal. He gets to the Jordan River. They got to cross the sucker. And so he pops the water and God splits the water for him. Verse 9. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, when you read commentators about this particular passage, there's not an agreement on what a double portion means. I personally think that a double portion means what it says. Elisha wanted to be a great prophet like Elijah, but he wanted more. He wanted to be more of a great prophet than Elijah. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, you can write this on the side of your notes. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, it talks about the double portion being a bigger blessing. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, there's a great story about this guy, Elkanah, who had two wives, Hannah and Penina. And the Bible says that Hannah didn't have any kids, but Penina, God had blessed her with kids. And whenever Elkanah brought his wives with him to make sacrifices to the Lord, they had a big feast. And the woman who didn't have any children, Hannah, she would always be sad. And her husband would say, but I love you. In fact, the Bible says, the guy says to the girl, am I not better to you than children? There's probably silence. And the Bible says that Elkanah would give Hannah, the one who didn't have any kids, a double portion of meat because she didn't have any kids. She wanted to bless her somehow, some way. When you read the book of Job, you read about what Satan did to that man and how he just, man, he lost a lot. He lost all his kids too, and he lost everything he had. But at the end, in Job chapter 42 and verse 10, you read that God not only gave Job back everything he had, he doubled it. So when Elijah is walking with Elisha, and Elijah says, hey, listen, ask me anything you want. Elijah says, I want a double portion of whatever you got. I want power, I think, the power of God. He wanted to experience the power of God like no one else had ever experienced before. A double blessing. When I think about double blessings, I think of Thanksgiving. Because we're going to eat a lot. And some of y'all are going to go for a second blessing from the table. You're going to double it. You're going to double it up, baby. Somebody's going to have to roll you out of the dining room table, roll you to the living room and lay you on a bed or on the couch, and you're going to have to loosen your button because it's too tight now. You don't want it to go flying out, right? Because you're going to vegetate and you're going to watch some football for the rest of the afternoon. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yep. And then in a little while, you're going to say, when we're going to have some pie? And you're going to want apple pie and you're going to want pumpkin pie with the psh on top. Bong. Top it up, baby. Top it up. And then it won't be that long until you say, are we having turkey sandwiches tonight? That's a double, triple, quadruple. Elisha wanted more of God, man. And it made me think about my own life. You know what? That's what I want. And that's what you want. You want more of God? You want God to display his power, his blessing, his goodness, his glory in your life. For your notes, I want you to write this down. You want to go out with a bang, question mark, desire. So write down the words more of God in your life. The Apostle Paul, this is not on your notes, in Philippians 3:10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, it's not on the screen either. It says, I want to experience Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's what he said. So our desire is to experience Christ. We want to experience the blessings of God. I don't know if you ever prayed this, but I have. I see people whom God is pouring his goodness on and blessing. And I've prayed a few times, actually several times. I pray, God, you did it for him. Do it for me. And I want more than what you've given him. I prayed that. God, I want you to use me more than you're using that guy. Bless him, but use me in a great big way. Verse 11, they, Elijah and Elisha, kept talking as they walked on. Then suddenly a chariot of fire pulled by horses of fire came between them. You imagine that? Chariot of fire and horses of fire come down from heaven. And I think that's God showing off. You know what I'm saying? Because in those days, the big armies, the big powerful armies, they had horses and chariots. And here's God saying, I got horses and chariots. And so they come down there with fire. And of course, God has umpteen trillion angels, you know, and so his army just outpowers anyone else. And so this big bad guys come between him. And Elijah, the Bible says, verse 11, was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind. Talk about going out of a bang, man. Wow. I always pictured Elijah jumping up on that bad boy and riding up, go, go, whoa. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the chariot of fire and the horses of fire came down from heaven and they separated the two men. They came between the two men. So Elijah may be here. Here's the chariot and the horses. And Elisha's over here. So Elisha could not reach Elijah. Obviously, God was going to take Elijah up to heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us, and we just read here, that Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. The Hebrew word for whirlwind means a storm, a lot of wind. I thought about a tornado. But then I thought, I'm sure that Elijah wasn't going, wow, 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 wow. Made me think of the last time I took my little girls when they were little to a merry-go-round. I hated every moment of it. In fact, in the middle of that ride, I was like, please make it stop. Please make it stop. Because I get dizzy very easily. So I kind of think that as Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, I think he was taken up maybe in the eye of the storm, just riding up to heaven. And because he was in a storm, you couldn't see him. He went up, disappeared. Now, if you read the story, I hope you do. This is a great story. If you read the story, the assembly of the prophets went to Elisha after Elijah is going to say, hey, do you want us to look for him? Because they thought Elijah had been spit out by the storm into somewhere. So for the next 3 days, the company of the prophets went looking for Elijah. Even though Elisha said, don't be looking for him, they couldn't find him because he went up into heaven, right? So from that story itself, and we're not going to get into the life of Elijah. I think it's an incredible life. But from that, I want to give you two practical ideas on finishing strong in your life, of going out with a bang. Okay, that's where we're heading for the next few minutes. Finishing strong in your life, ending up with a bang, man. Going out with a bang. Number one, you want to end up with a bang? You want to go out with a bang? Then be someone's inspiration. Ladies and gentlemen, be someone's inspiration. Hopefully, parents and grandparents influence their children and grandchildren and inspire them in a powerful way. Siblings can do that too. My parents inspired me. They just inspired me. They became believers, and even when they were not believers, they inspired me and challenged me. You know, my dad, he has such a great sense of humor. And when he got saved and began to study the Bible, he became Bible literate. I mean, this guy, he knew scripture and he knew backgrounds and he knew the customs of the day. My dad was like a walking Bible encyclopedia after he got saved. And he encouraged me. And he laughed a lot. My dad did. And he spent real meaningful time with me doing things, playing basketball, playing board games, just hanging around and laughing. When Roberto Clemente's plane went down on one corner of the island, the baseball player, I'll never forget it. Daddy took me to that corner of the island. I was a little kid. And I was like, Daddy, where did the plane go down for Roberto Clemente? He was just a hero for us, a baseball player, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Daddy was like, it's over there. That's where the plane went down. Well, I have great memories of my dad. And when I needed advice, I call him. Dad, I'm tired of being a pastor. I can't stand those people. Not y'all, by the way. Yeah, this has happened many years ago, right? It wasn't here. Okay? I don't want people living here saying, oh, that pastor don't like his congregation. I say, I'm tired of these people. They're horrible. And Dad would listen to me, and then he would say, son, we need to pray. I'm like, I don't want to pray. This is on the phone because I was in New Mexico. I don't want to pray, man. I want out. Then he'd pray a great prayer, and he'd refocus me. And here I am today still, 30 years later, still doing what I do. You know, Jim Henry also inspired me. I asked Jim Henry two days ago. I'm like, man, well, come preach for me. Well, he's busy. It's all get out. Even though he's old, he's busy. But what inspired me about this pastor, Jim Henry, I love the way he spoke. I mean, I was just starting out in being a Christian, and I listened to him. But I fell in love with his faithfulness to God. With his true heart, you know, when I share with y'all that Jim Henry had a heart after God's own heart, I believe that with all my heart. His faithfulness to the scriptures, he was faithful to the Bible, and his success. I mean, he had a church that would have 6,500 people on Sunday morning. Sometimes I call Jim Henry for advice. I'd be like, man, I'm sick of this. You know what he would say? We need to pray. And I said, Brother Jim, I don't want to pray, man. I'm just telling you, I'm sick of this. No, we need to pray. We need to pray. And then he would encourage me. Now, I want to tell you something. The people that are going to be your inspiration are not going to be perfect. My daddy wasn't perfect. And Jim Henry's not perfect. He'll be the first one to tell you. In fact, I asked Jim Henry one time. I said, I don't think he remembers. I said, why didn't you ever invite me to preach at your church, man? And he would never answer. And then I say, I know why. Because I'm a Puerto Rican. That's why. I say, this is racial, brah. I say, it's racial. Racial profiling. That's why he didn't invite me. But he would ignore me. For your notes, I want you to write this down. Listen, if you want to go out with a bang, then set others up for success, will you? Set them up for success, however you can. And then for your notes again, write the word invest. Invest yourself in somebody else's life. It could be in a church setting. Or it could be outside the church. I mean, there are programs like Big Brother and Big Sister. There are programs like hospice. We've had hospice people here that work with hospice, and they invest themselves in the lives of those people that they're going home soon. You can invest time in the hospital or spend time or volunteerism, you know, foster parenting, whatever. Just be somebody else's inspiration. Amen. Be somebody else's inspiration, amen? Okay, this is like, there's several people here, and I only hear like four or five of y'all. Listen, be somebody else's inspiration, will you? Amen. Number two. You want to go out with a bang? Let God be your motivation. Let God be your motivation. I want to tell you why. Because, yes, you invest yourself in people, and we just pour ourselves in people. But I want to tell you, people will disappoint you. And they'll break your heart. But hey, you're doing what you're doing because you love people and you feel like this is what God wants you to do. But let God be your motivation. The prophet Habakkuk wrote this. This is in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2 from the New Century Version of the Bible. Lord, he said, I have heard the news about you. I'm amazed at what you have done. Lord, do great things once again in our time. Make those things happen again in our days. What have we read in the Bible? God performed great miracles. What do you read in the Bible? God loves. What do you read in the Bible? God is for you. God will do anything for you. That's why he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sins. Because God knew that we were in bad shape spiritually and that we were destined to die and go straight to hell. But God said, I'm going to send my only son to die for you so you can miss heaven and make, miss hell and make heaven. By the way, when you read chapter 2 and you keep reading the story of Elisha, you find out, you know, he asked for a double portion of a blessing. You find out that Elisha performed double the amount of miracles than Elijah did. I mean, it's insane. Let God be your motivation for your notes. Live looking for God's miracles. I don't know how many people are looking for God's miracles. I'm looking for God's miracles. Live looking for God's miracles. God still performs miracles today. Amen? One more thing. So we're talking about let God be your motivation, and we're talking about Elijah was taken up to heaven without dying. Then this came to my mind for your notes. The rapture of the church, heaven, and your heavenly reward should motivate you to press on. The rapture of the church, heaven, and your heavenly reward should be your motivation. Hey, listen, I don't care what anybody tells you. Jesus is coming soon. It doesn't matter what you think. It don't matter what you think. The Bible says what it says. You can believe it or not believe it. It don't matter. It's going to happen. The Bible says Jesus is coming soon. We've seen all the signs and everything is going to happen, right? So you ought to be motivated to think, I wonder if Jesus is coming today. I wonder if Jesus is coming next week. You ought to be excited about the fact that you, if you know Christ as your Savior, are going to live in heaven. And the rewards that God is going to have in heaven, because the Bible says in the very last chapter, the last few words of Jesus saying, Saint Jesus says, I'm coming soon and I'm bringing my reward with you, with me, I'm sorry. So Jesus is coming and he's bringing his reward. God is going to reward the faithful. So the Apostle Paul says this, check it out. This is one of the great scriptures of the Bible. For the Lord himself, talking about Jesus, the one who died on the cross for our sins and resurrected from the dead on the third day. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. These are the Christians who have died and now are buried. After that, after they rise from their graves in their new bodies to go meet Jesus in the air. After that, we who are alive and remain we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to shoot up to heaven like a rocket, man. You know, people, when they die, they go up to heaven with their eyes closed. We're going to have our eyes open, and we're going to be heading up like Superman when Jesus comes back. You know, we're not going to go ahead of the resurrected ones, but the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are still alive are going to go up to heaven. That's what the Bible says, and that's what it means. To meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Yep, Jesus is coming, and we're going to go meet him. Our pastor in New Orleans, Dr. Ron Herod, he's now in heaven. He used to say, I love riding on elevators. Because if Jesus comes and I'm riding an elevator, I'm going to be fast, going up faster than anyone else. Because I'm going to be on a higher story. Yo, listen, this life is about the next. Whatever you're doing right now, it's about the next. This is not all there is here. this life is about this long, 70, 80, 90 years. Heaven is forever. When you die, it all begins. The question is, what is your address going to be after you die? The Apostle Paul said this, Philippians chapter 3. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, saying I'm not getting hung up on the past. I'm not getting hung up on what's happened to me. I'm not getting hung up on all those skeletons in my closet. I'm not getting hung up on that. Forgetting the past, I'm looking forward to a life ahead, talking about heaven, talking about our eternal reward. I press on. That means chase after, literally. I chase after the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus is calling us. In other words, the apostle was saying, I want to finish strong. You want to finish strong. For your notes, I want you to write this down. The words miss out. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on anything God wants to bless you with now and in the future. Don't miss out on that now, because God's got a perfect plan. You want to grab everything God's got planned for you. Amen. What's going to happen tomorrow? Who knows? What's going to happen next week? Who knows? But we ride on believing God is with us. Corrie ten Boom would say, put your uncertain future in the hands of a certain God. I close with this. There was a time when the known world, they did commerce but with each other. Talking about Greece, Mesopotamia, Italy, Rome, Spain, Macedonia. They did business among themselves. Go ahead and put the map on the screen, please. All right. So they did business all through here, see? Because that's all they knew. Okay? They could go up to the Atlantic, which is on this part here. But if you notice this little piece right here, that's the Strait of Gibraltar. Okay? That's the Strait of Gibraltar. And in Latin, they had a saying that went like this. Ne plus ultra, which means no more beyond. No more beyond. Everybody was afraid. Everybody stayed here. Okay? Because ne plus ultra, no more beyond. Then late in the 15th century, Christopher Columbus decided, you know what? I'm going to look for a new route to India. He said, I'm going to go through this strait right here. Go ahead and put it on the screen, the next one. There's the strait right here. And this is the Rock of Gibraltar right here. Okay? Nobody went that way. But Christopher Columbus said, you know what? I'm gonna give it a shot. And so he went. He discovered Puerto Rico. Hello. We honor that guy in the island, bro. For real. Christopher Columbus, baby. Woohoo! Yeah. And he discovered the Bahamas, and he discovered the Virgin Islands. You know what I found out? This happened in 1492. You know what I found out? There were 17 people. There were three boats, right? The Niña, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. I found out that in the Santa Maria, there was a guy by the name of Pedro de Acevedo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Spelled exactly the way my last name is. And I was like, Grandpappy. Must have been that way. So Christopher Columbus ventures into the port of, you know, the little Strait of Gibraltar. And he comes back and he says, oh, yeah, there's a lot beyond. So the saying changed from ne plus ultra to plus ultra, which means more beyond. I want to tell you this. Because Jesus died on the cross, we know there's more beyond. Because he rose from the dead, we know there's more beyond. Because he said, I'm going to reward you for your faithfulness, we know there's more beyond. You want to go out with a bang? Then do all you can for Jesus. Knowing that where you are right now, wherever you are right now, there's more beyond that God is waiting to give you. You with me? Let's pray. Father, there might be somebody here who says, you know what, I've never given my heart to Christ. I've never asked him to be my Savior, be my Lord. If that's you, and you may be watching me on Facebook right now, if that's you, I want to tell you that Jesus resurrected from the dead to give you life and to prove to you that there is something beyond. Life just begins when a person goes out of this life into the next. You may be saying, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to have this peace, to have this comfort, to know that Jesus lives in my heart? I want you to pray something like this, right? I'm not going to ask you afterwards to stand up or come down the aisle or something, but I want you to ask Jesus, if God's pressing you, his Holy Spirit's pressing your heart, and you never ask Jesus Christ to save your soul, I'm going to ask you to pray something like this right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that there's something beyond. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you rose from the dead. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. And I have a lot of questions, God. But this morning, right now, by faith, I am asking Jesus to come inside my heart and save my soul, forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I'm going to do my best. Help me. I want to do my best to follow you. Thank you for listening. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around, I'm the only one looking. I want to ask you, if you just asked Jesus Christ to save your soul for the very first time, you've never done that before, but you prayed with me this morning, will you raise your hand, put it back down? I just want to pray for you. That's all I want to do. I want to pray for you. You said, man, I just asked Jesus to save my soul. Anybody here? Anybody here? All right. If you ask Jesus in your heart, you're watching me. Listen, God bless you. Thank you. The Holy Spirit has come to live in your heart. He'll be there forever. Send me a little note so that we can send you a Bible, get you started on this amazing, miracle-filled new life that you're about to encounter. God in heaven, help us be motivated to pour ourselves into others. Help us do what we can to push people forward, to bless them, to encourage them, to hold them up, God. Help us be the kind of people that are going to go out with a bang. Because you've used us in a mighty way. God, we love you with all our hearts. We thank you for bringing us together. And we thank you for your word, because your word is truth. May your name be praised forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking notes. Thank you for reading your